Well, let's get started tonight in Luke 16, and let's see what the Lord wants to speak to us in the Word of the Lord. It is good to see a bunch of friendly folks. It's hard. It's not often that you have to settle the folks down to let me preach. Usually you have to encourage them to get out in the aisle and talk to people and hug each other's necks. But tonight, I want to say again, thank you for coming. What a blessing and a privilege. Now, I will say one thing. Pastor was saying, wow, she's preached 2 hours. Now, I'm just telling you, I know it made it sound like, well, if he made a mistake and I didn't preach 2 hours, I must have preached an hour. That's not true. I don't think that's true. Pastor, I just said, oh, shoo, he said I didn't. I was only teasing him. I thought, well, Lord help, I hope I didn't. You're back tonight, so maybe I didn't. But let's just see what the Lord wants to speak to us, though, here from Luke 16. This has just been rolling over and over in my spirit, and I pray it'll minister to you tonight. I'm having to do something. Forgive me. I'm having to wear these glasses, and it's very new for me. It's not pleasant, and I'm still learning how to do it and jerk them off and on. I don't know if you've ever had, if you're a preacher like I am, and I preach kind of passionately. Before I know it, I'll be flinging these things around, so I'll try to be calm. And but let me just read the word of the Lord beginning there in verse 19. And it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Just for you to know, that is talking about the present day heaven. So that might make a little more sense to you, talking about being in Abraham's bosom. And it says in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray one more time. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. And I thank you, Lord, that this truth will penetrate any wall that people have may have built up in their lives or the enemy may have surrounded them with. I pray that this truth will penetrate and lives will be changed. And we give you the praise and the glory for everything that's accomplished this morning, tonight, tomorrow night, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Don't forget, tomorrow night service starts at 7. So come, bring somebody with you. We're believing God for just an outpouring of His Spirit. And we're really believing that what God is doing here in these few services is just a continuation of what He's already been doing and will only be a thrust of what God wants to continue to do in a mighty way. Amen. So we're believing this is just a part of revival, but God has a revival spirit that He's wanting to bring in a mighty way, I believe, not just to this church, but this area. Amen. In Jesus' name. So I want to talk just a few moments. You may say, Beth, what a weird way to start a revival on Sunday evening is to start preaching about hell. I know we don't hear a lot of sermons about hell, and it's been quite a long time since I've preached about hell, period. But I do believe it's something that's very important. I don't believe it's something that we can skirt around, that we can ignore and hope that it's not true. We know plenty about hell, and the Word teaches us plenty about hell. I want to just take a few moments and talk about some of the details about it, but that won't be my main focus today. When I begin to speak here from chapter 16, a lot of people say, well, is this a parable? And I would have to say, no, I do not believe that it is a parable. And the reason that I don't believe it's a parable is because people have names in this message here. And in parables, you never find that names are given. And so as we see that this is a literal story here, a literal message, I find today when I think about hell, what does Jesus say about it? I find a lot of truths in the Word of the Lord. Jesus describes hell as a furnace of fire, an everlasting, unquenchable fire, a place of everlasting punishment. Jesus teaches us over and over about hell. Another description is where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In the book of Revelation, you see it called the lake of fire. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever there in the lake of fire. There's plenty you can find about it, but today I want to take this message. I hate to call it a story, because immediately when you use the word story, people think of it as fiction, as a parable. But I, as I said a moment ago, I don't believe that's what it is, and it's certainly not fiction. So I want to just call it a message today from heaven. And so as I begin to look at this message, I find that there's two men. There's a rich man, and then we've got the poor sick man by the name of Lazarus. We've got these two men. They're on totally opposite ends of the spectrum. One so wealthy, has friends, all kinds of friends, all kinds of acquaintances, people who are wanting to get to know him. He has a fine home, everything that life could afford and give him. He had it. But then we see this other man, Lazarus, and he's just laid there at the gate of this rich man. His body is eat up with sores. He's very poor. He has nothing, just a beggar man. So we see them totally opposite. But then something happens in their life that brings them to a very, really a similar, not just a similar, but an exact place. They both died. And that's something that we have to realize today, that it doesn't matter how much money or prestige we have or that we have not, eventually all of us will die. All of us will head out into eternity one day. And so we see these men coming together in a place called death. But then, here they are on opposite ends, they come together in a place called death, but then we see their lives completely going in the opposite direction again. As I spoke to you a moment ago, Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom, as we would think of that as heaven today. But then we see that the rich man went to a place called hell. And there's some things that I want to show you that happens in hell that I know it sounds a little bit odd, but I believe there's some things that happen in hell right here in this message that every church needs to learn from. I believe I might even have this CD out on the table unless we sold them all, but I'm telling you, it is a powerful message to the church. You say, how can the church learn anything from hell? I think as we begin to share with you these points of this message, you'll understand. And I believe that it is a very pertinent, it's a very timely message for where we are today. And the first thing that I want you to see today is in verse 24. Let me read it to you again. It says, and he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Notice it says, he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy mercy on me. And then in verse 27, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. What I want you to know right now is there are people in hell who are praying and crying out to the Lord. I believe that today, if there was a way that we could hear what's happening in hell, you would hear people interceding. You would hear people praying. You would hear people calling out on the Lord. You say, Beth, could that be so? Well, we see it right here in this message with this rich man. Immediately, he comes to hell. He goes to a place called hell, and he begins to look, and he begins to call out, have mercy on me. I can tell you today, I'll never forget it. It's an old sermon I've heard years and years ago, and the title of it is When It's Too Late to Pray. I believe that if you could hear from hell today, they would say, we're having a prayer meeting tonight. When you have the opportunity, you need to pray. Amen. While you have the chance on this earth, it's time for the people of God to begin to pray. I am so grateful today that you and I have a chance, like we are sitting in a beautiful building on beautiful padded pews with a wonderful air conditioner, a heater, ever how you might like it. We've got just what you want. We've got it as pleasant as it could possibly be. But still, we find people who don't want to pray. I believe today we could learn from the people in hell as they were telling us. I believe every one of us, pray while you have the chance. Call on God while He will hear you and answer you. Amen. That spirit of intercession today is going on. It's like they're trying. They're seeing if they can say the right thing. If maybe somehow they can connect with God. They can connect with heaven. But I can tell you at this moment, at this time for hell, heaven has been shut up. There's somebody in hell that's begging for mercy right now. There's somebody in hell right now that's crying out, oh God, help me move in my life. There's somebody in hell that's hoping for grace to be extended like we talked about this morning. Will grace, is there any way for grace to be extended to where I am? In hell, there's somebody right now that they are seeking for the Lord. Amen. It's sad to think about it, and it's a horrible even thing to imagine in your mind. But I can promise you, if you had an eyeglass to be able to look to hell, you would see people on their knees saying, oh God, hear my prayer. Move on my behalf. Do something. I'm in this horrible place of torment. But there's these people that we know that are in hell. Some of them, my goodness, I can't even begin to imagine what it's like. I can't begin to imagine what it must feel like, or the torment of their minds for those people. But I can only imagine if they are thinking tonight, if only I had one more church service to go to. They're thinking, if only I had one more revival service that I could run to an altar. If only I had one more chance to kneel by my bedside tonight. If only I had one more opportunity to grab the hand of a loved one and to call out on the Lord. I can tell you today, sometimes our lives get so busy, we don't have time to pray. Sometimes our lives get so overrun with things around us and the busyness of this world that we make the declaration, I want to pray, I know I need to pray, but I've just not had the opportunity to pray. I can promise you today, if you knew that eternity was facing you tomorrow, like this rich man was facing, you would find time to pray. You would find time to seek the face of the Lord. Amen. You would find time to call out on the name of the Lord. If you knew without a doubt that your prayers would not be heard tomorrow, if you knew without a doubt that your prayers would not be answered tomorrow, I don't believe that we would have enough space in these altars. I don't believe that we'd have enough time on the clock for all of us to begin to call out on the Lord like we would want to do. I believe something that we can learn in the church today from hell is the need to take the opportunity to pray while we have the time to seek the face of the Lord while we have the chance. A lot of people say, Beth, we need a breakthrough in our churches. We need a breakthrough in our nation, just like we're talking about earlier. We need a breakthrough. We need God to do something. But I've heard a preacher say it like this one time. He said, you will never have a breakthrough until you pray through. You will never have that breakthrough in your church until your church learns how to pray through and push through. Some people say, well, Beth, I'll tell you, we want to be that kind of church, but it's just me praying, and I can't seem to get other people to pray. Then you keep on praying. Amen. You keep on pressing in. I've heard people say, well, I'll pray, but you know, I don't seem to be getting anywhere. But this is, I won't ever forget this. I was a young woman when I heard the preacher say this. When you remember, sometimes it feels like that when you begin to pray, that it feels like the ceiling is like brass. But the word of the Lord says in the book of Revelation, it says his feet are like brass. I like to think about it like that. That when it feels like my prayers are just going up and hitting brass, hitting what feels like is just a ceiling on my prayers, I just remember that the Lord's feet were like brass in the book of Revelation. And I say, it feels like it's going nowhere, but I know without a doubt that the Lord hears my prayer, and the Lord is answering my prayer, and the Lord is moving on my behalf. Whatever you do, don't you dare let that devil convince you that the Lord's ear is deaf to your prayer. Matter of fact, the Word teaches us just the opposite. The Word of the Lord teaches us that His ear is not deaf, that His arm is not too short, hallelujah, but that the Lord will move on our behalf. Whatever you do, don't you listen to the lies of the enemy that the Lord will not answer and will not move for you. Don't you do it. I believe that it stopped so many people from praying. I believe it has hindered so many people from praying. They say, well, you know, and I preached a little bit about this Friday night if you were at the women's conference. Sorry you didn't make it, brother. But I preached a little bit about this, that a lot of times people say, well, I prayed and prayed about it, and it didn't happen like I thought it would. I've really sought the Lord about it. I needed God to do this, and He didn't do it. And you know, the enemy will say, so why are you wasting your time continuing to pray? I want us to understand something. The Lord may not always answer our prayer in the way we want Him to answer it. He may not always do what we're hoping He will do. But as we said just a little bit ago, we can trust in the Lord that when we give it over to the Lord, when I can't see His hands, I can trust His heart, and I know He's moving on my behalf, on my family's behalf. Don't you let the enemy silence your prayers. I want to say it again. If there's a lesson we can learn from hell, the lesson would be, whatever you do, don't stop praying. Amen. Don't stop seeking the Lord. Hallelujah. I know sometimes people say, well, is it effective? Yes, it's effective, because it's prayer that's going to save your children, and it's prayer that's going to bring us revival, and it's prayer that's going to give us direction, and it is prayer that's going to give us power. That's what's going to do it. Forgive me, I don't know all about this, and I hesitate to say it, but I've already got in too deep, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's a movie out. Let me go ahead and put a disclaimer. I've not watched it. So don't watch it and something crazy happens. Say, well, that preacher recommended it. I've not watched it. So, you know, watch it at your own risk. But there's a movie out called Dunkirk. And some of you may have seen it, Dunkirk. And isn't it about World War II? And Kurt knows more about it than I do. I should get him up here to tell you about it. But there's something very powerful about that movie. And I don't know if the movie portrays it a lot or not, but there's something that happened during that time, and it's very powerful. And what's happening is, and maybe you've seen it on the trailer. I've seen a little bit on the trailer about it on TV at times. But the enemy was closing in on the people, and they were from England. Am I right about that? So the people in England, so the enemy was closing in on them. And I mean, they were so outnumbered, there was no way that they were going to win. There was no way that they were going to get out of this thing. They're going to be destroyed. It was just the bottom line. But I think it was Winston Churchill that made a decision, and he called for a day of prayer, a time of prayer for the entire nation. He called for a time of prayer. And I don't know, like I said, how the movie portrays it, but what happens in that, during that time of prayer, God begins to move. And I forget how many people got rescued out of that situation. Do you remember? Almost 400,000 got rescued out of that situation, and it all started when there was a call for prayer. A lot of times, I even read some stuff on Twitter today. I kind of wish I hadn't read it, but I feel like I'm okay to tell you about it. I won't go into the detail because it's really too horrific to tell you. But I was reading a little bit on Twitter today about that horrible shooting there in Texas, and Senator Ted Cruz made a statement on Twitter. He said, "You're in our thoughts and our prayers." And people began to respond to that statement with the most vulgar thoughts on prayer. They said all kinds. I don't even think I want to repeat what they said. It was just horrific vulgarity and really downing prayer and downing our God and what we believe. And it's got to be more than prayer. Prayer's not enough. And they would use vulgarity to describe prayer. And I thought, oh, yeah. I said, that is purely straight from hell right there. Because I can tell you that is exactly what the enemy wants us to think. That there's no power in prayer. There's no hope in prayer, that God doesn't hear our prayer. I believe it's straight from hell. But today I'm telling you about our God. I want to say it again, who will hear our prayer. He will answer our prayer. And it doesn't always work just like I want it to work or thought it would work. But one thing I know is that I'm looking through a little peephole, but God sees the big picture. And God is moving on our behalf. And today, whatever you do, don't you believe the lies of the enemy. Don't you let it cause you to stifle your prayer. But if there's anything that we ought to be doing now, it's praying more than ever. If there's anything that ought to be happening now, we ought to be interceding more now than ever. If there's anything that you and I need to be setting a place on our calendar for, it is for a time of prayer. Listen, I get this today. My daddy went to the VA hospital to be treated when he needed to go. And there was something that I realized. I've spent a little more time here than I'd planned, but hold on a minute. I want to tell you, when Daddy would have an appointment with the VA hospital, that is one thing you did not miss. Amen, brother. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It was 4 months out and you went because it would be another year before you got an appointment. I mean, that's how bad it was. But then, let's talk about it on another level. Some of us ladies, we're going to get our hair done every 6 weeks. You're going to put it on the calendar. When you're getting it done, you're going to go ahead and put it on the calendar for the next 6 weeks. Come on. Don't leave me out here stranded, ladies. You know what I'm talking about. We're not going to miss it. We're going to be there. You know what I mean? Let me tell you something. There's something far more important than a VA doctor's appointment. There is something more important than an appointment to get beautified. Amen. And that is the appointment that we need to make with Jesus Christ our Lord, calling on the name of the Lord, seeking His face. I remember years ago, there was a song out, and it says we gotta make time to spend in His presence. We gotta make time to sit at His table. We gotta make time to call on the name of the Lord. And today, I challenge you for us to learn from hell, and let's pray while we have the time to pray, while we have the opportunity to pray. Amen. Look at your neighbor for just a minute. It's important. I think it's important to do this periodically. Look at your neighbor and say, "I believe she's talking to you." Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just in case you thought I was talking to your neighbor, I just wanted you to know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is wanting to speak to you today. Hear me. Our preaching, our wonderful, talented preaching of all these great ministers can only take us so far. All of our programs can only take us so far. Amen. All of our wonderful practicing of our music and all of these things can only take us so far. If all of these things are not birthed in prayer, amen, then they're just lifeless and useless. But when we begin to birth those things in prayer, that's where the power comes into our lives and into our services and into our communities. Amen. Oh God, give us hungry people that we will pray and seek the face of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe in doing good, and I believe in programs, and I believe in preaching, I believe in singing, I believe in all of these things, and I love it. I'm grateful to get to be a part of it, but it's just another sermon if it's not birthed out of prayer. It's just another song if it's not birthed out of prayer. Hallelujah. The disciples said, forgive me, I planned on getting to number 3 by now, but I'm still on 1. Let me say it though, I believe it's important. The disciples said it like this. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Hallelujah. Lord, teach us how to pray. They could have said, teach me how to heal because you're the greatest healer ever. Teach me how to preach because there's no preacher like you. But they didn't. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And you remember what Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Woo! The disciples said it, Lord, teach us how to pray. Why would they have said something like that? It's because Jesus, this is powerful. Jesus was 100% successful in everything he did. 100% successful every single time. Do you know why? People say, well, it's because he was the Son of God. Well, he was. He is the Son of God. I'm in agreement. But it was more than that. It was because on this earth, he said, I've come to do the will of the Father. But how did he know the will of the Father? It's because he spent time in prayer with the Father. Whether he went up on the mountainside to pray, whether he got alone and prayed all night, he spent time with the Father. And he knew the heart of the Father. That's why when he stepped up and he stepped out and he began to open up his mouth and to preach the truth and to put his hand on the sick or to speak to the demons and they left. Why was he successful? It was because he was doing the will of the Father. And he knew it. Woo! And he knew it because even though he was a son of God, he was a man of prayer. Oh, Lord, teach us how to pray. Woo! Teach us how to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me keep going tonight. I won't keep you a long time, although it's difficult sometimes to rush. See, that's what else the problem is with these glasses. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hell has it, and we need it. The spirit of prayer. Hell has it, but the church needs it. We need it. What can we learn from hell today? Let me give you the next point, if you would. Go back to verse 24. Amen. I'll take these off in a second. It says, and he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Wow. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I want you to know something else about hell. Hell has a desperate thirst. And of course it is a natural thirst, but I believe it's more than just a natural thirst. that hell has. Yes, I believe they would love to have a drip of water. But I believe that thirst goes beyond just physically speaking. I believe today that hell has a thirst for a move of God. Oh, I believe hell is thirsty for the anointing. I believe today that hell is thirsty for another worship service. Hallelujah. I believe today that hell is thirsty for another service where they can begin to praise and to glorify God and to lift their hands. They are thirsty for a move of God. Yes, they are thirsty for God to hear their prayer, but they're also thirsty to be able to glorify and to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know today, so many times if we're not careful, we come in services and we have to kind of beg people, come on, won't somebody just lift your hands, let's stand, let's glorify God. You know, we'll hear that a lot. Before you know it, there's times, forgive me, I'm just going to be honest with you. I know it's on the internet, but anyway, for all those that you don't know, I'm just going to tell you. There's times that I feel like instead of a preacher, I have to be a cheerleader. I feel like I have to motivate. I get wore out with that thing. I can't tell you how it wears me out. Why? Because I don't believe that any of us ought to have to be pushed and pulled and prodded and begged and pleaded with. Won't you praise Him? Won't you glory? Let's lift up the name. Come on, somebody, let's get in here. I'm telling you something. Sometimes I feel like I need two pom-poms when I come up here to preach. You know what I'm talking about? But hallelujah, if we only had an idea of what's going on in hell, hell would say, my, if I could sit under another good service, if I could hear some good preaching again, if I could just lift up my hands and begin to dance before the Lord, that's what I would do. They're thirsty for a move of God. They're thirsty for revival. They're thirsty for an outpouring of the glory of God. They're thirsty for a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. They're thirsty. You know what? I don't believe nobody in hell says, well, now theologically, how do y'all feel about speaking in tongues? Because, you know, I'm not really sure if it's necessary for us today. How do y'all feel about healing? You know, I don't know if healing's for us today. Or no, I'm telling you, I believe every one of those people in hell says, my goodness, if I could just see the Lord heal again. If I just had the opportunity to have the gifts of the Spirit flowing through me. I'm telling you, we analyze it so much. We're so critical about it. We're so, oh, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if we ought to do well. I'm telling you, God's looking for men and women like us who will just dive in head first and say, Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm desperately thirsty and I can't leave here until I hear from heaven. I'm desperately thirsty and I can't leave here until I have a touch from glory. I'm thirsty for you, God. Amen. Amen. Oh Lord, for thirsty people. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to us. Oh Lord, for thirsty people. See, Kurt and I are talking about it a little bit today. I said, I'm so tired of the church just being so politically correct, trying to do everything just so. I'm telling you, when you get thirsty, you'll shout and dance in Walmart. Amen. I'm serious. When you get thirsty, you won't care what people think about you. You'll lay hands on somebody at the pump of the BP station in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm serious. When you get thirsty, you won't wonder, well, what if somebody's looking? What if somebody's videoing this on their iPhone? What are they going to think? What if they put it on Facebook? When you get thirsty for the Lord, you won't worry what people think. You won't worry how people may respond. You won't worry if people will reject you. All that matters to you is you are hungry for God to move. You are hungry for the gifts of the Spirit to flow in your lives, in your home, among your young people. Lord, I'm thirsty. Amen. Woo! Amen. I'll tell you, I know what it's like to be thirsty, maybe not desperately thirsty like we've seen some people maybe in other nations and other countries. But as a first world thirsty, I can tell you about it. I love working outside. Love it. And, it's my out. It's the way that kind of can get some stress off of me. And so, you know, I get out there working with those hedge trimmers. I try to think of whose hair. I'm like, no, I'm just kind of teasing about that. I told Kurt the other day, he said, I'll go out and do the yard work if you want to clean up on the inside. I said, absolutely not. I'm coming outside. I said, I need to get outside. Amen. And I'll tell you, though, I won't ever forget the house we lived in Athens when we first moved there. It was on a community well, and the water was just really bad. It was really bad water, and they were having to put filters and do all kinds of stuff on it. But that's before, it took a little while for all that to work out. You know how that is when you build a new home. And so I was working. It was while I was still single, and I was working outside. I was working so hard. I'm telling you, it was in the heat of the summer. I was burning up. I was so hot. Sweat was just dripping off of me. And I knew, I'm a little OCD, so I thought, I'm not going to walk in the house filthy like this. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but I could say, and I don't know what y'all call it here. We call it a spigot at home. We had some spigots around the house. And I kept thinking, man, sure do wish I'd get some water out of that spigot. Now, I knew on the inside they had a filter on the refrigerator I could get good water, but I'm not messing up the house. So I kept working around that house. I'd pass that spigot. And I think, man, I sure do wish I had some water. I'm so hot. I want you to know before it was over with, I said, forget it. I don't care what people think. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how ridiculous it might look. I turned that spigot on. I didn't just get my mouth under there, although I could have. I stuck my head up under there. I'm telling you, I got soaking wet. I was drinking that water. And I'm telling you, I don't know what was in it, but it still tasted good. I'm telling you, I believe today that if we would quit being so well, what are people going to think? How are people going to feel about it? I believe God's looking for people who says, just turn the spigot on and I want it. Amen. Just turn the spigot on and I want everything you've got for me. I won't give you a list of what I do and what I don't want. Lord, whatever you've got, that's what I want. Amen. I believe if hell could come to us today, they would say, my goodness, get hungry for the things of God. Get thirsty for the things of God. Don't be satisfied where you are. Thank God where we are. But my word, this is at the half of what God has in store for us. We've not even scratched the surface of what God has. Don't let the devil, don't you let him lie to you and make you feel like you've reached the pinnacle. No, I'm telling you, he's got more. There's a whole lot more where that came from. There's a whole lot more that God wants to do in our lives. Get thirsty like hell is thirsty today. There's a prayer meeting going on in hell right now. I believe there are thirsty people in hell right now. Oh God, send revival today. Amen. I don't believe they have to have an evangelist to start a revival. But if there was any way, they'd have revival right there in hell, if at all possible now. If they could speak to us, they would tell you to get hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Let me give you the third point. I believe it's so important. Notice, if you would, verse 27 and 28. There's a lot more that I could say, but I talked a lot on prayer, so I'm going to take us to point 3. I think you get the point here, though. I think you understand about being thirsty for the Lord. Verse 27, I want to say one more thing about that. I don't know who it is, but the Lord's dealing with somebody in this service today. And this is what I keep feeling this in my spirit. Just like that church in Revelation that says, I have need of nothing. It's one of the most dangerous places you can be. But I find there's so many church people. So many church people who are at that point that says, look at us. What else do we need? And I'm going to tell you, it was a recipe for disaster for that church. I want to challenge you in this place today, whoever you are, and however deep you are in the Lord, there's more where that came from. And the Lord is not finished with us. If we ever get to the point that we feel like we have reached the end, I'm telling you, you've been lied to by the enemy, and you need to get back on your knees and call back out on the Lord and say, God, I know there's more you want to do in my life, and I am open for it. Whatever you want to do. And let me clear this up real quickly. Sometimes people say, well, it's because you're young, Beth. Thank you. I received that. But I want you to know, it's not just because I'm young as I'm getting older every year. But I want you to know, I talk about it with Kurt all the time. I said, Lord, I said, all I know, Kurt, is I want God to use me. All I know is I don't want to ever get stagnant in the things of God. I don't want to ever get complacent. I don't want to ever get to a place in my life where I think, well, I'm just going to float on in. I'm doing pretty good. Oh, Lord, I can't tell you how many times I pray and say, God, help me not to get that complacent attitude, that complacent mentality. I know you say, well, you're the preacher, Beth. My goodness, yes, and there's more of God that I want. There's more of God that I'm thirsty for. There's more of His Spirit. Oh, God, I want more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not going to reach the pinnacle till we're in heaven. Yeah, we keep on. Amen. Glory to God. Let's look at verse 27. Woo! Praise the Lord. And it says, then He said, I pray Thee therefore, Father, that Thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Now listen to this. He said, for I have five brethren. And make a note of this, all of these five brothers were unbelievers. We know that by what He said. For I have five brothers that He may testify. Talking about sending Lazarus. Would you send Lazarus? For I have five brothers that Lazarus may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Point number three, hell has a burden for the lost. I want to say that again. Hell has a burden for the lost. Listen to this rich man in hell. I have a wonderful pastor friend of mine, and I've heard him preach this message many times. Hell's last message to earth. You know what the last message to earth is from hell? It's right here. And it comes from the rich man. And the rich man says, don't come to this place. He said, can you send somebody to testify to my five brothers who are lost? They don't want to come to this place. They don't want to come to this place. That's hell's last message to earth. If all of hell was resurrected, I can promise you today that this entire world would be evangelized by the morning light. Why? I believe they would knock on every door and they would say, you don't want to go to this place called hell. I believe that'd be on the phone. You don't want to go to this place called hell. I believe that'd be up and down the aisles of Walmart. You don't want to go to this place called hell. I know you may say, Beth, that sounds a little radical. But here's the deal. If we knew that today was our last day on earth, think about it. Who would you be on the phone with? Whose house would you go to when service was over? Who would you go to their door and say, hey, hear me. The Lord is coming. People, get ready. Jesus is on His way. Eternity is at hand. You don't want to go to this place called hell. Amen. You know what I believe sometimes? I hate it. I hate to even say it. But I believe sometimes that we don't do that for several reasons. Number one, we don't know if we believe that it's true or not. Number two, we're embarrassed and worried about what might happen if we invite people and they think that we're far out. They think we're freakazoids. They think we're fanatics and we are too concerned about what people think about us. And then there's times that we don't want to say it because we're afraid we're going to run them off. And I get that and I understand that. But that is why we need to be kind and compassionate and loving to people around us so that we can reach out in love and compassion and tell them about Jesus and tell them about that wonderful grace and tell them about a place called eternity. And let them know that when we leave this earth, that we will be.
be in eternity, heaven or hell. And today, we can make the decision to make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, and heaven will be our eternal reward. Amen. Amen. Today, I believe if we're not careful, we look around at this situation about ministering to the lost. And sometimes we feel like we don't have the time, that we don't feel like we have maybe the charisma. We feel like we don't have what it takes to be able to convince. But this is what I find that the Word of the Lord says. This is very powerful. The Word of the Lord teaches us, and it might be in John 15. I can't remember. John 15, John 16. But it says that the Holy Ghost reproves. Do you know what that means? I was amazed when I read that, when I found out what reproves means. It means that He convicts and He convinces. This is powerful. This is very powerful. That the Holy Ghost convicts and He convinces. That's not my job. My job is not to convict. My job is not to convince, but what my job is to do is to speak the truth of God in love, to let people see the love of God through me, and then to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move into their lives and move in their situation, because He can come in and open up their blinded eyes. Once the truth is revealed, then He can take the scales off of their eyes, and He can convict their hearts, and He can convince them that He is the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today, I think that's where so many people miss it. We think it's our job to be the Holy Ghost. Amen. We think it's our job to be the Holy Ghost. I think it's Joyce Myers that says to be Holy Ghost Junior. But I'm not Holy Ghost Junior. I'm just Beth Stevens Johnson. Thank the Lord. I'm Beth Stevens Johnson. Amen. Sometimes I still call myself Beth Stevens. Thank the Lord that I can tag that on to the end. Amen. But sometimes I think, I'm just plain old Beth. What am I? I'll tell you what I am. I can speak the Word of God. I can speak truth and love. And then I know that the Holy Ghost will have His way as I begin to pray and intercede for that man or woman. And He will move in their lives as the Word has gone forth, as a seed has been planted. Then God does the work. Amen. Amen today. You don't have to convince your children that this is the right way. You don't have to convince your spouse that this is the right way. You just keep living like God has called us to live, doing the Word of the Lord, and then we let the Holy Ghost move in the supernatural way that He moves. I want to say it comes to my heart. The Scripture says it's not by my might, nor is it by my power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know today, sometimes people will say, well, Beth, I'm just not good at that. Well, hear me. I'm not either. But this one thing I do know. I do know that somebody loved me enough to have me in the church, to have me in Sunday school. Somebody loved you enough, maybe a little snotty-nosed little kid, a neighbor that you might have been to somebody, but somebody picked you up and they took you to church and you ate Oreos in the Sunday school class and drank Kool-Aid. You know what I'm saying? But somehow, something got a hold of you. And today, you're serving the Lord because somebody had a burden for the lost. Somebody had a burden for those who don't know Jesus as their Savior. It just so happened that it might have been you. Amen. Aren't you thankful today? I believe if hell could speak to us today, they would say, tell the world they don't want to come here. They don't want to come to this place. Tell the world. They don't want to come to this place. I feel like just stopping for a moment. I'm just about finished. I can't pass this up. It keeps coming to my spirit, so I want to say it. I can't tell you the times. I have stories I can tell you, but I just feel like telling you today. There's a lot of times that people say, well, I don't want to push them away. I can't tell you the times that I walked in my grandmother's house and Mama would look at me, knew I was a preacher, knew I was preaching the gospel. She knew I had a relationship with the Lord, but that didn't I didn't bother her a lick. She looked at me. She said, well, now, how are you and the Lord? I said, now, Mama, I said, you know I'm preaching and you know this and that and the other. She said, I didn't ask you if you was a preacher. I want to know, how are you and the Lord? How's your relationship with the Lord? It didn't bother her not one time. My uncle was lost without the Lord until he was in his 70s. Matter of fact, my grandmother died and went to heaven at 90 years of age. But I can tell you there was probably hardly a time that she spoke to him on the phone or that he didn't walk in her door that she didn't talk to him about the Lord. Amen. There's hardly a time that she didn't talk to him about the Lord. I want to encourage you today. Thanksgiving is coming up. There's no better time that you start telling your family about Jesus. Amen. There's no better time for you to tell them about who Jesus is. Hallelujah. And what He did on the cross and what the empty grave looks like. Hallelujah. There's no better time to let your family know Jesus is coming. You say, Beth, what if they don't invite me to eat with them next year? Call me. Amen. We'll go to Cracker Barrel together. But I'm telling you, you may not have another opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Take every opportunity you can. Tell them in love, yes. Tell them with compassion, yes. Tell them without a judgmental spirit, yes. But whatever you do, tell them about the Lord. Remind them about the empty tomb. Remind them about the blood and the power that's in the name of Jesus. And whatever you do, you lay hands on them during the meal prayer and saying, in the name of Jesus, touch my baby and turn their hearts around in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I know. You say, well, Beth, you get a little fanatical. It's true, I do. But I'm telling you, I'm believing the circle of our family, you know that old song, won't be unbroken in heaven. I'm praying. I'm believing. Every chance I get, I jerk them in the bathroom, pray for them. Amen. Somebody's sick. I said, come on, honey. I get my little nephew. I said, come on. I said, I won't embarrass you. Let me get you in this bathroom. I said, now what's going on? I said, I'm going to pray for you. Amen. I believe it's important. I want them to know Jesus. I want them to love Jesus. I want them to know the power of God. And the last thing, if you'll help me, maybe with the music to close, you can tell I have a lot more I'd like to say. But for the sake of time, and I'd love for you to come back tomorrow night, I want to close with the thought that I believe is so powerful. Verse 27 and 28. Let me read it to you in closing. I'm sorry, not 27 and 28. Let me go to verse 23. And it says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. You say, what are you talking about? I believe today that hell has a vision for heaven. I want to say that again. I believe that hell has a vision for heaven. It said that the rich man was in hell. And he looked up and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. In other words, he saw heaven. I believe that's going to be one of the horrible torments of hell. Because we're going to be able to see things. Hopefully we won't. Those that are in hell are going to be able to see what they missed in heaven. I believe that. I believe that tonight that hell has a vision of heaven. And I pray today that the Lord would give us again a vision of heaven. You say, what do you mean, Beth? I think sometimes we get so busy in this world that we're living in, we forget that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. I'm just a pilgrim or a stranger on this earth. That's what the Bible says. I thank the Lord for a home. And I thank the Lord for a car. And I thank the Lord for all these things that this world has to offer. But I'm so glad today that this is not my eternal home. Amen. But there's a day that I'm leaving and I'm stepping out of this world into the presence of the Lord, into the world to come. And I'm so excited to know that the streets are gold, that the walls are jasper, that the gates are pearl. I'm so excited to know there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more sickness. I'm so glad to know, most of all, that the Lord will be there, that Jesus will be the light. Amen. I could go on and on, but today, oh God, give us the church a fresh vision. vision of heaven. Give us the church a fresh vision of what you said. Jesus said, I'm leaving and I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. In other words, he's coming again and he's catching his church away so that we can be together with him in eternity in heaven forever. Amen. And forever. And forever. And I begin to think about heaven. I know it's a little bit odd. And I think about what happened in Texas today. You know how I can deal with it? Truthfully, in my spirit, it's hard not to feel so weighted down. Then I began to look around. And they were saying that the 14-year-old daughter of the pastor was one of the victims. I looked at Kurt, I said, what in the world? Do you know how I can handle it? She's in the presence of the Lord today. You know how I can manage it? Is that she's walking on streets of gold today. You know how I can manage it? It's the fact that I know she'll never have to be in harm's way again. I know that she'll never have to suffer again. I know that she'll never know sadness again. Hallelujah. I know and I believe in a place called heaven. And it's time you and I believed again in eternity that God has prepared a place for us. And I want you to go. 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 I want us to meet again today. One day in heaven. Amen. Amen. Woo! I said, today, I meant one day. But if it's today, I hope to see you there. Amen. I hope to see you there. I used to sing an old song. It says, oh, I want to see him. You don't have to play it or nothing. You just keep going right the way you're going. You're doing great. It says, oh, I want to see him. To look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Place called heaven. There's four lessons today, maybe more. Four lessons we can learn from hell. That is to be a praying church. To be a thirsty church. To be a church hungry to see the lost come to know Jesus as their Savior. And a church that has a vision of heaven. Amen. John Bevere wrote a book. And it's called Driven by Eternity. Everything we do ought to be driven by eternity. Heaven on our mind. Everything we preach should be with heaven on our mind. Oh goodness, I could preach on and on. Let me stop. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Thank you, Lord. Every song we sing needs to be done with heaven on our mind. Every altar call we give should be done with heaven on our mind. Every hand we shake at the back door needs to be shaken with heaven on our mind. Every time we teach the nursery, we ought to teach it with heaven on our mind. Amen. Amen today. Oh, Lord, help us to learn the lessons from hell today. That we be changed to different people. In Jesus' name. If no one looking for just a moment, would you bow your heads? I want to ask this question. Thank you for being patient with me tonight as I share my heart with you. And I believe the heart of the Lord. If you say, Beth, I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. And I believe I'm here on a divine appointment. Today I need to recommit my heart to Jesus Christ. I can't leave this place like I walked in. But today I want to surrender my life totally and fully to Him. If that's you today, no one's looking. This will just be between me and you and the Lord. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and say, Beth, I'm not where I need to be with the Lord today. I'm on the brink. I'm on the edge. I've been skirting around the issues. I look good, but there's some things underneath the surface that only me and the Lord know about. Let me tell you who else knows. Satan also knows. And he is fighting for your soul today. I'm asking you, would you make the decision to say yes to Jesus Christ? Is there anybody here? Just for a moment, you say, Beth, that's me. Would you slip your hand up and you can put it right back down? Anybody here that the Lord's been dealing with your heart. Beth, pray for me. I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. Maybe you say, Beth, I love Him. I do love Him. But the truth is, there's some things that I've been sweeping under the rug people don't know about. There's some hidden secret sins. I want to say it again. The Lord knows. Satan knows, and they're fighting for you. Will you make a decision to choose Jesus Christ today? Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to surrender your life to? Anybody here right now that you'd say, Beth, that's for me? I don't see any hands raised. So I'm going to ask you the second thing, and then we're going to give an altar call. And I want to ask as many as we would, even if you're guests, please, please feel welcome. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. But I'm going to ask all of us to come around this altar. But before we do, I want to ask this question. You say, Beth, one of those points you made, the Lord really dealt with my heart while you were preaching. What you were talking about, I could feel the Holy Ghost speaking to me. I could feel the Lord moving in my heart, the conviction of the Lord. Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe it's your satisfaction of where you are and you've not been hungry for more. Maybe you've forgotten about the lost, even the lost in your own home. And you've taken the easy road that just avoids the subject of eternity. But today, the Lord has reminded you of eternity, heaven or hell. And you know that you have a position to take. The Lord is calling you to get a burden for the lost again in a vision of heaven. Just one more time, I want to ask you if you say, Beth, some of that spoke to me. Something happened today in the service and it spoke to me. I want to pray. If that's you, would you just lift your hand up right now? Say, I just want to spend time with the Lord. Amen. I see your hands. Thank you. I just feel like I need to spend some time with the Lord over some things. I just want to seek His face. There's more of the Lord I'm hungry for. I want to count to three, and I'm going to ask you from the front to the back, guests, home folks, all of us, would you be willing to leave out of your seats and let's come and gather around this altar and let's pray. If you're willing to kneel, I'd love for us just to kneel and to seek the Lord on the count of three. One, two, three. Come on, let's leave out of our seats and let's come to this altar. Come on, would you do it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. You're welcome here today. You're welcome in this altar today. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lessons from hell. Hell's praying today. Let's pray. Let's make a place to pray. Let's find a secret place to seek the face of the Lord. Anybody else you want to come? There's room for you in this altar. If you're uncomfortable, you're welcome to be right where you are. But would you slip your hands up and let's just call on the name of the Lord as they set an atmosphere for us to receive today. Thank the Lord for that reckless love of God, that unending, that unfailing love of God. That's